the record and come to order. The commission is hereby convened in open session August 11th, 2011 to consider the matter entitled Secretary of Labor versus Bill Simola, employed by United Taconite LLC, docket number Lake 2010-128-M. Present are myself, Chairman Jordan, Commissioner Duffy, Commissioner Young, Commissioner Cohen, and Commissioner Nakamura. We will start with an overview of the case presented by Beth Ebner. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. At all relevant times in this case, Bill Simola was the pellet plant coordinator for United Taconite. United Taconite is a limited liability company which operates the United plant in Minnesota. On October 1st, 2008, MSHA issued a citation and an order against United Taconite for mine safety and health violations at the United plant. It later sought to impose personal liability against Mr. Simola under Section 110C of the Mine Act for those violations. Mr. Simola contested and brought a motion for summary decision on the basis that Section 110C does not apply to agents of an LLC. The judge, in an interlocutory order, dismissed Simola's motion. He determined that the Mine Act was silent on the question of whether agents of LLCs should be held liable under Section 110C. Accordingly, the judge deferred to the Secretary's construction of the Mine Act, which was to treat LLCs the same as corporate operators. The judge held that since, quote, the purpose of Section 110C is to pierce corporate liability shield, the Secretary's interpretation that the provision of Section 110C applies to agents of mine operators as limited liability companies is manifestly reasonable and consistent with the intent of the legislation. Simola successfully moved to certify the judge's interlocutory order for review. The commission then granted Simola's petition for interlocutory review. To the commission, Simola argues that the language of Section 110C plainly applies only to agents of corporations and that the judge erred because LLCs are not the same as corporations. He asserts that because the Mine Act is clear and unambiguous, effect must be given to the plain language and only agents of corporations can be held personally liable under Section 110C. Simola asks the commission to reverse the judge. The secretary responds that Section 110C is silent or ambiguous on the issue of whether it applies to agents of LLCs, and therefore, she as the administering agency may reasonably interpret the Mine Act. She argues that the terms corporate operator and such corporation in Section 110C can reasonably be read to encompass LLCs because LLCs create the same sort of limited liability shield that led Congress to impose personal liability on the agents of corporations. Accordingly, the Secretary submits that the same situations that warrant reaching behind the corporate shield warrant piercing the LLC shield. She urges, therefore, that the Commission affirm the judge. If there are any questions, I'm happy to respond.
Thank you, Beth. If there are no questions, we'll start off with our discussion. And Commissioner Young, you can start off today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We say this so often, I don't want people to think that I'm just saying it, but when I count my blessings, I really do feel grateful for the analysis and help the Office of General Counsel. It's always good to have an objective expert opinion in anything you do. I found this one, the work that we get on a routine basis to have been excellent is very helpful. And I don't ever want to get to the point where I take the routine excellence for granted. So thank you, Beth. In resolving this case, I don't I don't always agree with the recommendations of the Office of General Counsel, but I had trouble finding any fault in your logic, and your task was perhaps made easier by the fact that I didn't really find any fault in the judge's logic in this case. I would note in finding that we ought to affirm the judge here that we have in the past noted the distinction between plain meaning and literal meaning, and that our role is to interpret the law and to apply it as Congress intended. In that regard, corporations and other business organizations are creatures of state law. And I would point out that while United Taconite is in Minnesota, it's chartered in Delaware. And there are reasons for that. States have found it advantageous, some of them notoriously Delaware, to make it easier and more efficient to locate as a legal locus the corporation or LLC in this case in the state of Delaware or in another state. That raises a question as to whether at some point a state might decide to do away with the corporate form altogether and transition into an all LLC construction. If that were to happen, we would perhaps see an exodus arising from a decision holding to the contrary as to whether this law would apply to LLCs. The Mine Act does not define corporation, and LLCs, as a practical matter, didn't exist at the time the Act was enacted. And so reading the statute and the legislative history as a whole, I don't really have too much trouble determining that Congress would have had it considered and had the opportunity to consider limited liability companies as vehicles for mine operations, would have determined that they served essentially congruent purposes and should be included within the scope of Section 110C and its applicability to Mine Act to agents and officers of corporations. Ben Franklin noted that corporations have no bodies to beat and no souls to damn. This clause of the Mine Act seeks to remedy that by ensuring that the deterrent purpose of the Act is applied personally and is able to be felt personally by all operators, regardless of the form their business entity embodies. It would be illogical, and I would hold, in fact, absurd, to allow states to control the application of a federal statute by defining business organizations to provide a safe haven or to require Congress to prospectively remedy a problem that was not manifested at the time the statute was created. The law does require clarity, but it does not require absolute precision where common sense makes clear what Congress would have intended. Silence here does not equate an intent to permit agents of LLCs to hide behind a distinction without a real difference. I would therefore affirm the ALJ's denial of the motion to dismiss. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Young. Commissioner Duffy?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you and my colleagues for adjusting the starting time of today's meeting to accommodate me. I would affirm the judge's order also that denied Mr. Simola's motion for summary judgment, or as the judge characterized it, the motion to dismiss. I reviewed the excellent decisional memorandum prepared by Beth Ebner and agree with its analysis of the issues presented by this case, and with its recommendation to uphold the judge's ruling. In general, I do not favor the expansion of statutory definitions or coverage beyond the four corners of the legislation itself. But here we have a type of corporate entity that was not in existence when the Mine Act or its predecessor statute were enacted, the so-called limited liability company, or LLC. The question poses whether agents of LLCs should, like agents of traditional corporations, be subject to the individual sanctions called for in Section 110C of the Mine Act. Mr. Simola argues that since LLCs were not specifically mentioned in 110C, their agents cannot be held individually liable for knowingly carrying out the violations of their principles. I don't believe the issue is that simple. Congress obviously sought to pierce the corporate veil in Section 110C in order to place liability with those management personnel individually and specifically responsible for carrying out violations, in much the same way that sole proprietors or partners are held financially responsible for violations occurring at their operations. In that respect, LLCs are analogous to traditional corporate entities. They are formed to reap the benefits of favorable tax treatment and limited liability, but that limited liability feature brings them within the ambit of the congressional concern that gave rise to the adoption of Section 110C in the first place. It is of significance to me that corporation or corporate operator are not defined in the Mine Act. Consequently, I believe it is appropriate in this instance to resort to a Chevron 2 analysis and consider the Secretary's view that Congress would have intended Section 110C to reach LLCs if they had been in existence when the Mine Act was passed. Undertaking such an analysis, coupled with my understanding of why Congress intended to pierce the corporate veil for traditional corporations, I am led to conclude that the Secretary's interpretation is reasonable and permissible. Accordingly, I conclude that the judge was correct and that the 110C case against Mr. Simola can proceed. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Duffy. Next, Commissioner Moore.
Yes, sorry about the telephone ringing. I thought I had turned it off. I would echo the sentiments of my colleagues with respect to the decisional memorandum. I think it was done very well. I would also echo their sentiments as to on the merits of this case and would affirm the decision of the judge below. I agree with the Secretary's position that in looking at the statute under the Chevron analysis, that it's certainly not clear that Congress meant to exclude LLCs from the reach of Section 110C. the Secretary indicates that should be obvious since LLCs effectively did not exist at the time of the enactment of 110C or its predecessor. But I think it's certainly not clear that even if Congress had foreseen the advent of LLCs that they excluded or would have excluded LLCs from the reach of 110C. and I think that's the relevant inquiry. And it's evident to me from the purpose, which is evident from the statute and the legislative history, that Congress was concerned that individuals for a violation of the act would have less of an incentive to keep mines safe if they could hide behind the limited liability protection of what's really an artificial business entity just created by actually the filing of a certificate of incorporation. when you think about it, I mean, personal liability, if the either the officer or agent of the business entity could potentially be held personally liable. That means their bank account, their house, the money to set aside for their children's college fund, vacation money. If that could be potentially attached for penalty assessments, they have much greater incentive to make sure that not only they, but their employees keep a mind safe. And that will be in the back of their mind as the operations, during the operations of the mine. excuse me. So I think it's clear, and Congress did certainly express it, that they were trying to create a greater incentive to corporate officers and agents to keep their minds safe. And of course, as they indicated, sole proprietorships and partnerships And I might add even limited partnerships. I think there was an indication or an argument by the operator concerning limited partnerships, but limited partnerships do have limited partners, but they also have general partners who can be held personally liable. So I don't think that is an argument that carries much weight here. So under the Chevron 1 analysis, I think there is ambiguity or silence on the question presented, which leads me to the Chevron 2 analysis, and I think for the same reasons I just expressed, I would find the Secretary's interpretation eminently, or as the judge indicated, manifestly reasonable. It's consistent with the purpose of the section, as reflected not only in the statutory language, but its legislative history. And as my colleagues indicated, it's also consistent with the remedial and safety goals of the Act, and also the recognition by the Commission and courts that the Act is to be liberally construed to achieve its purpose, which is to protect the minor. So again, I would affirm the judge's decision for all these reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Commissioner Fine?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I join my colleagues in thanking Beth for the very good decision on that. I come to the same position as my colleagues, but I think that I've had a harder time getting there. Indeed, I've gone back and forth on this case about 5 times, and the problem that I've had with it is the existence of Guess. Because in Guess, the Commission held that agents of a partnership were not covered by 110C, and the D.C. Circuit affirmed that. And unless Guess is inapplicable or distinguishable, then I would think that it would control the outcome, and the outcome would be that only agents of corporations would be liable under Section 110C. However, I've concluded that Guess can and should be distinguished for 2 reasons. One, that Congress rejected partnerships as coming within the scope of 110C in enacting the Coal Act and then the Mine Act, but partnerships were known and LLCs were not known at the time, and it can't be said that Congress rejected LLCs as coming within the ambit of 110C. But more importantly, the whole purpose of 110C is to make individuals responsible for mine operations. Individuals who are responsible for mine operations jointly subject to liability under the Mine Act, along with the business entity which operates the mine. There are a couple of cases that I found that I thought were very pertinent to this analysis. One, which was cited in the DM, was Meyer versus Oklahoma Alcohol Beverage Laws Enforcement Commission, in which the state constitution identified corporations as being ineligible for liquor licenses. The applicant was an LLC, and the court found that the prohibition on corporate ownership of liquor license, liquor establishments extended to LLCs, particularly in view of the intent of the constitutional provision to limit licenses to entities where there was a provision for assignment of personal responsibility, noting that a business for which there was no responsibility would be excluded, and I think that's very analogous to the situation here. The other case that I found particularly helpful was an old 1922 Florida case called Taylor versus Roberts. Which involved a criminal conviction under a city ordinance regulating traffic and a $5 fine. The defendant was driving a car and challenged the conviction on the theory that the city charter, which granted the city council the right to create ordinances, did not authorize regulation of automobiles. Automobiles were unknown when the charter was enacted. The court said that the charter's purpose was to vest in the city council the power to regulate, quote, all the then known classes of vehicles using the streets. And I think likewise, the purpose of 110C was to impose potential liability on agents of all the then known business entities whose agents would be shielded from individual liability by the character of their business. Thus, partnerships and individual sole proprietorships were not brought within 110C. Corporations were. So I think that, analogously, the Congress was regulating in 110C all the then known classes of mine operators where there would be the potential for individuals not having individual liability. So that's the way I view the Chevron 1 analysis. Chevron 2, I think, is very simple, as everyone has said. The interpretation by the Secretary is very reasonable and very consistent with the purpose of 110C. So I would affirm the judge and resolve it on that basis.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Cohen. I also would thank Beth for her excellent analysis of the DM. I also am in accord with my colleague's determination. I would affirm the judge's ruling that the application of 110C should apply to agents of limited liability corporation. Like my colleagues, I have struggle with this. I've not come to it totally easily. I've gone a little bit back and forth on Commissioner Cohen because there is the term corporation. Is there in the statute? And one doesn't want to depart from that statutory language readily or easily. However, after considering it, a great I think that we're also tasked have a responsibility to construe the statute in accordance with the intent of the drafters, with the congressional intent. And normally, you know, one says, well, the best evidence of that intent is the wording they use in the statute. If they wanted to include something else, they should have referenced it. But here, of course, that aspect is not applicable. The limited liability corporations were not in existence when Congress drafted this pertinent statutory provision. So I have considered the arguments. I've also considered the cases that once mentioned by Commissioner Cohen. I've also read. I agree that the Oklahoma court really had an analogous reason for reaching the conclusion it did with focusing on the purpose and the provision there before them of restricting the issuance of licenses for liquor stores. The evident purpose was the assignment of personal responsibility, the court said, for compliance with the liquor laws. Thus, business forms that did not show personal responsibility were excluded from eligibility for licensing. Here, it's very clear that that was the focus of the congressional intent they wanted to have personal liability for the people who were supervising and controlling and in charge in the mine, and personal liability when they failed to or when they directed or carried out violations of the act. I have also considered, I know there's, you know, a case that the parties have brought to our attention where a limited liability corporation was not held to be a corporation. And I've reviewed that, but I do feel that that is distinguishable. It focused on the court's determination of whether there should be diversity in the federal court. And in concluding that a limited liability corporation would not be considered a corporation in its analysis of diversity, I mean, the court did point out we are obligated to construe removal jurisdiction strictly because of the significant federalism concerns implicated. As my colleagues have pointed out here, it's the opposite. The relevant case law, the long history of cases under the Mine Act, is to construe the provisions liberally in order to carry out the immediate purpose of the act. I also realize that the court, in that diversity case at the end of its decision, you know, pointed out that the two parties before it, Exro and GTA, chose to create an entity, and which they were now asking the court to disregard, which the court declined to do. So I feel that even though the statute does only make a specific reference to corporation, corporate operator, that the correct resolution of this case, the appropriate resolution, is to apply that statutory provision to the agents of the limited liability corporation, limited liability company. All right, so with that, I guess we are unanimous in deciding to affirm the judge. Are there any other questions, Beth, points that you want to confirm with us this morning, or any comments on my conference to clarify anything?
I think I have adequate guidance.
Okay. All right, with that, I thank my colleagues, and we will go off the record. Thank you.